Before we start, let us pay homage to the Buddha by reciting Namo Tassa 3 times. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa. Today I will give you a talk, profound talk, difficult talk, on anatta, non-self, the doctrine of non-self. This anatta, non-self teaching is peculiar to the Buddha. Peculiar teaching of the Buddha, non-self. All other religions talk about atta, self, or permanent soul. Atta means one's own person, one's own self, or permanent soul. But only Buddhism talk about non-self. And the doctrine of non-self is very difficult to comprehend. Why is it so? Because human beings deeply cling to the atta. And because of this anusaya kilesa, latent refinements of clinging, or we call a natural predisposition, that whatever we see, we hear, we smell, we taste, we touch, and we think, we regard all of this, or we identify all of this as I, myself. So the notion of I, where the notion of I comes from? One day, Venerable Arahant Punna Manta Niputta preached a Dhamma to Venerable Ananda. And because of this discourse, Venerable Ananda became Sotapan, stream enterer. So Arahant Punna Manta Niputta said, where the notions of I comes from? The notion of I comes from clinging. Clinging to what the notion of I comes from? Clinging to five aggregates, pancha khanda. So we identify everything we hear, see, taste, think as I, myself, because of clinging. And for those who deeply cling to five aggregates as I, myself, if they come to listen to the doctrine of anatta, non-self, they will become bewildered, they will become crazy, will become perplexed, confused. Such just as happened to Venerable Vajragupta, one of the wandering ascetic. One day, he approached the Buddha and asked the Buddha a question. And he asked, "Venerable Sir, is it there a self, or does it, or is it a self, or a self does self exist?" And Buddha kept silent. Then Vajragota asked again, "Does self not exist?" And Buddha kept silent again. And Vajragota felt very dissatisfied, and he left. And Venerable Ananda asked Buddha, he said, "Sir, you know the answer. Why didn't you tell him the truth?" Then Buddha replied, "If I say there is self or self exists, and this against or this side with those ascetic or those school or those tradition that claim the view of eternalist. You know the view of eternalist? Sasatadiki. They think everything is permanent. When a person dies, this eternal soul go from one world to another world. This is called the view of eternalist." And Buddha answered again, "But if I say self does not exist, and this side with those who claim the view of annihilation, Ucheta Deti. Now the view of annihilation says that when a person dies, everything perishes away. Nothing remains. So I cannot say there is no self. Or if I answer self exists, then Buddha said, then this against my teaching of non-self. If I answer self does not exist, and to this confused Vajragota, Vajragota, he is strongly cling to the self. If I say self does not exist, he will become bewildered, become more confused, and he will think, last time now myself exists, now I have no more self. So he will become more confused, and he will become crazy. So for this reason that I keep silent." So when Buddha keeps silent, this does not mean that Buddha does not know the answer. But Buddha know, no matter how he answer, cannot satisfy him. And it's not the right time for him to preach the doctrine of non-self. So from what Buddha answer, we come to know, for those who deeply cling or grasp the doctrine of self, it's very difficult to understand non-self. And to understand non-self, there are two ways. Number one, without approach these two ways, the non-self nature of all phenomena cannot be fully understood. Number one, to investigate or analyze the constituents that make up the personality. Number two, to investigate causality or the relation of cause and effect. So to understand non-self clearly, you have to understand, number one, the constituent that make up the personality. Number two, to understand the causality, cause and effect. Only then, the non-self nature will become clear to you. Without understand these two, you will end up with confusion. If there's no self, who am I sitting here listening to the Dharma talk? Who am I sitting here preaching the Dharma if you say there's no self? I think many people end up with this perplexity. Non-self, who am I? Although you have listened many times the Buddha say non-self, non-self, but you still strongly cling to this self. Am I right? Yes, because you do not understand the doctrine of non-self correctly. Okay, now let's come to the first one. To investigate or analyze the constituent that make up the personality, that make up this self. In this world, there are two types of truths. There are two types of realities. Number one is called conventional truth. Number two is called ultimate truth. So conventionally, we say there is self. I am speaking, you are listening. There is I, there is you. And she is a female, he is a male. I have parents, I have sisters and brothers. So there's a person, there's a being. So conventionally speaking, we accept all this I, she, he, human being, animals, for the sake of convenience. Even Buddha used I, when I was Bodhisattva. I practiced self-mortification for 6 years in Uruvela. So in my past life, I were such and such. I was born in such and such family. So even Buddha used this conventional truth to convey his message. But in order to make progress in your meditation, if your knowledge only stay at the conventional truth and without go beyond it, you are not able to break through your meditation. You are unable to make progress, unable to make further progress if you always stay at the conventional truth. So we use the conventional truth for the sake of communion, but our understanding must go beyond it and enrich ultimate truth. What is ultimate truth? So conventionally we say there's I. But if you investigate the constituent that make up this I, then you find there are five aggregates that make up this I. What are the five? What are the five? Nama, rupa. Okay, rupa is one. Nama, there are four. What are the four? I don't think you do not know. Yes, consciousness. Number two, feeling. Number three, are you new in Buddhism? Formations. Okay, number four, perceptions. This five, let me repeat, we call pancha khanda. This five in English we call five aggregates. Number one, materiality aggregate. Number two, feeling aggregate. Number three, perception aggregate. Number four, formation aggregate. Number 5, consciousness aggregate. Pancha khanda, rupa khanda, vedana khanda, sanya khanda, sankhara khanda, vijnana khanda. This 5 make up this body, this person, make up this self, this personality. And without understanding this 5 correctly, deeply, you cannot make good progress in Vipassana meditation. Because this 5 are the objects of our clinging and the object of our identification as I, my, myself. All the suffering comes from craving or clinging and identification. And the whole practice of Vipassana is to remove our clinging. Clinging to what? Clinging to what? Self. Self is only conventional truth. Clinging to what? Clinging to 5 aggregate. So the purpose of Vipassana is to remove the clinging to 5 aggregates. But if you do not understand what is 5 aggregate, how are you going to remove the clinging towards 5 aggregates? Am I right? So you must understand what are the 5 aggregates first. So this 5 aggregates, pancha khanda, make up this self. Let me talk a little bit detail about this 5 aggregates. Number 1 is called rupa khanda, materiality aggregate. Conventionally we say body. Body is conventional truth. Ultimately, body is consists of 4 elements. What are the 4? Earth element. All these are important dharma. You got to bear in mind if you want to meditate well. All this theoretical understanding is very important. What are the 4 element? Earth element, water, follow the sequence. Earth element, Pathavi Dhatu, water element, Apo Dhatu, fire element, Tejo Dhatu, and wind element, Vayu Dhatu. 4 element. Please repeat. Earth, water, fire, and wind. Key into your computer. Key into your mind computer. 5 aggregate also. Key into your mind computer. So this 4 elements make up this body. So we have one meditation called 4 element meditation to realize this body is composed of 4 elements and they are constantly arising and passing away. Unfortunately, today's retreat is very short, so I cannot share with you how to practice this 4 elements meditation. Okay, number 2, feeling aggregate. The characteristic of feeling is being felt. The function is to experience the desirable and undesirable aspect of the object. Any object, let's say, bitter gourd. Bitter gourd. When a bitter gourd now is the object. When the bitter gourd touch the tongue sensitivity, and one type of feeling arises. Experience undesirable aspect of that bitter gourd if you do not like the bitter taste. But let's say durian. Now change the object, durian. When the durian touches the tongue sensitivity, one type of feeling arises, experience the desirable aspect of that durian. That feeling is called pleasant feeling. But another feeling that tastes, another feeling that experience the undesirable aspect of that bitter gourd is called unpleasant feeling. Or sometimes object which is neutral touches the tongue sensitivity, then a neutral feeling arises. Feel, experience the neutral aspect of the object. So we have three types of feelings. What are they? Pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, and neutral feeling. Okay, next one, perception. What's the meaning of perception? Sanya. Perception, the characteristic of perception is perceive the quality of an object. Let's say, first time you see an elephant. So you perceive, elephant, what are the quality of an elephant? He has big trunk, 4 feet, and he has tusk and 2 big ears. So these all are the qualities of an elephant. So when you first time perceive an elephant, then you make note, you mark, you make a sign. So there are 2 big ears, 1 big trunk, 4 feet, and with tusk. And next time when you see the elephant again, the perception will arise, recognize what you formerly has apprehended. Because formerly you have already made a sign, a mark. So now through the mark you understand this is elephant. Understand? Okay. And for most beings, most human beings, they always perceive wrongly. They perceive with distorted perception. They do not perceive according to reality. Just like a blind man. A blind man perceives elephant. If a blind man touches the ear of the elephant, then he think the elephant is like a fan. And if he touches one of the feet of elephant, then he perceive, he think elephant is like a tree. So is he or does he perceive correctly according to the truth or not? No. So he perceived with distorted perception. So also, similarly, we human beings always perceive with distorted perception. We perceive what is impermanent as permanent. And we perceive what is suffering as happiness. We perceive what is non-self as self. All the time. Most of the times. From the round of rebirth, from the beginning of samsara until now. As long as we do not contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta, then we perceive only nitya, sukha, and atta. As long as we do not perceive impermanent, suffering, and non-self, then we will perceive everything as permanent, happiness, and a self. That's why this is called distorted perception. Vipalasa sanya. Sanya vipalasa. This is called perception. Number four, formations. What is formation? Formation means forming, fabricating, constructing. Forming, what is form? This is called the formation. The function is accumulating karma. The function of formation is accumulating karma. And the manifestation of formation is intervening. Intervening or contrive to become interest or engagement. Any engagement, the mind engage in something and become interested in it, that paves the way to karma. This is called formation. Whether it's mentally or physically or verbally. So in the mundane consciousness, volition or formation, volition is what is the head of formation. Buddha said, volition, cetana. Cetana hang bhikkhave kammang vadami. I declare volition is the karma. Having willed, one perform the action verbally, physically or mentally. Okay. The last one, consciousness. We have six types of consciousness. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness and mind consciousness. The characteristic of consciousness is purely aware of an object, nothing else. When you hear something, the ear consciousness aware of the sound. When you see something, eye consciousness aware of the seeing, of the object. When you taste something, taste consciousness aware of the taste. When you think of something, mind consciousness aware of the thought. This is called consciousness. And this five aggregate make up so-called self or I or he or she. I give you an example. Let's say when the eyes come to contact with a diamond. When a diamond is object, visible object. When diamond, visible object, impinges eye sensitivity. What is eye sensitivity? Eye sensitivity is only, or eye is only conventional truth. Ultimately, eye make up by four elements. Earth element, water element, fire element and wind element. So I is materiality aggregate. Is my Dhamma talk too deep for you? No. It's very important. If you want to come, and this talk I will not talk in public. I only talk during retreat. Because those who come for retreat must know. All these things must be fully understood. Is the first noble truth. Five aggregate of clinging is first noble truth. The noble truth of suffering. And the Buddha said, the noble truth of suffering must be fully known, must be fully understood. So I is only a conventional truth. Ultimately, I consists of only four elements. And when the diamond impinges eye sensitivity, causes the I consciousness to arise and seeing that diamond. So this impingement, impingement is called contact, passa, contact, eye contact. And eye contact belong to formation aggregate. And when owing to the eye contact, a pleasant feeling arises owing to the eye contact seeing that diamond. This pleasant feeling belongs to feeling aggregate. And because of that pleasant feeling, Buddha say, dependent on feeling, craving arises. So craving follow after pleasant feeling. Craving belong to formation aggregate. And eye consciousness arises seeing that diamond. This is called consciousness aggregate. So at the moment of seeing, there are five aggregates. Which one is yourself? Please answer me. Please be more responsive. I think I wonder you all understand or not, because there's no response. Okay, which one is yourself? Please don't fall asleep while listening to the Dharma. If you fall asleep while listening to the Dharma, you are far away from the Dharma. Buddha say, there are four things are very rare in this world. One is listening to the Dharma. If you feel asleep or feel sleepy while listening to the Dharma, you should be shameful. Shameful. Okay? We call hiri otapa. If you do not feel shameful, feel sleepy while listening to the Dharma, you are still far away from the progress. Okay, so which five aggregates, which aggregate is yourself? Please answer. Which one? Okay, which one? Body itself. Okay, some more. All by yourself. Some more? None. Yes. If you still say body is self, all five are self, you are still far away from seeing the ultimate truth. So next time I should investigate your background first before I give Dharma talk. I think my Dharma talk is too deep for you. Am I right? No. But as you make progress, you will understand how valuable is this Dharma talk. And this Dharma talk, you cannot listen from the public. But because your response disappointed me, I was discouraged to continue. It's okay, no problem. You answer wrong, it doesn't matter. As long as you are not sleepy, as long as you pay full attention to the Dharma talk, as long as you listen attentively, respectfully, that is enough. Whether you understand or not, that cannot be forced. That depends on your level of understanding. I do not demand you to understand fully. I only demand you to listen respectfully. This respect to the Dharma, respect to the Buddha. No? Not respect to me, but respect to the Dharma. This is only what I demand. Okay? So none of them are self. Self is only conventional truth. I told you already. Self is only conventional truth. None of them are self. materiality aggregate perform its function. Each aggregate perform its own function and immediately pass away. Then another one, another feeling arises, another formation, another perception arises, another consciousness arises. So all these five aggregates are constantly arising and passing away. Okay, another question. What sustain the five aggregate? Craving, clinging, yes. So five aggregate, as Buddha's teaching, merely concerned with cause and effect. So there are causes and conditions for the arising of five aggregates. Just now we have already analyzed the constituents that make up the self, the personality. Secondly, now we are going to touch, we are going to discuss cause and effect. The causes and the conditions that make the five aggregates to arise. Okay, now we will discuss the first one first, four elements. What make the four elements to arise? Number one, past karma. Karma. Second, consciousness. Consciousness can make the four elements to arise. I give you an example. Now I want to call you, come. example. So I say, please come, verbally and with gesture. Okay. So the mind, the intention, the mind want to call she to come here. And the mind can produce element, four element. Among these four element, there's one called wind element. And this wind element was spread out up to my hand and cause my hand to move. Please come. My hand will move to show the gesture to ask her to come. This means the mind, consciousness can produce four element. Okay? The third reason for the arising of four element is temperature, the fire in the body. The fire in the body can produce another four element. I'm not going to talk in detail. The last one, nutriment. The food you eat can produce four elements to sustain your body. If you eat the wholesome food, that your four elements also in the body also become wholesome. If you eat unhealthy food, then the four elements in the body also become unhealthy, then you will fall sick. So these are the four causes that make the four elements arise. What are the four? Karma, consciousness, temperature, and nutriment. And this karma, consciousness, temperature, and nutriment, they are also impermanent. The food you take every day change. The temperature in the body also change. Your consciousness also change. Sometimes you get angry. When you get angry, this angry mind produce a lot of fire in the body, make your body feel very hot. Make your face turn to red. But sometimes when you have metta, loving kindness, then this, the mind with metta produce very soft element in the body, so you feel soft, comfortable, good. So your mind always change. Consciousness also change all the time. Then karma also change. Not only past karma, pleasant karma, now your karma, the karma of listening to the Dharma talk if you listen with respect, it produces a lot of wholesome energy in the body. So good karma produce good four elements in the body. So they are also, these four elements are also impermanent, not a self. Okay, these are the cause and condition for the arising of four elements, materiality aggregate. Now we come to feeling aggregate. What is the cause for feeling to arise? Please answer me. What is the cause for feeling to arise? Yes, very good. Contact. Contact. I see something, this is called contact. Then pleasant or unpleasant feeling arise. Ear, if it hears abuse, owing to the ear contact, unpleasant feeling arises. If the ear hears people praise you, so owing to the ear contact, pleasant feeling arises. And contact also impermanent. Impermanent. Only when there is sound, there's ear contact. When there's no sound, there's no ear contact. So contact is also conditional. What is conditional is anicca, impermanent. Okay. The third one, perception. What is the cause for perception to arise? Contact. Same contact. For example, when your eyes see the elephant, then you perceive elephant is like that. So without this eye contact, you cannot perceive anything. Contact is the condition for perception to arise. Okay, next. What's the condition for formation to arise? Karma. Karma is one of the cause, but not the nearest cause. Also contact. Also contact. Contact is also condition for formation to arise. For example, when you see your enemy, when you see your enemy, anger arises. Anger is formation. So because of the contact, eye contact, then the formation, anger arises. So contact is also the condition for formation to arise. Okay, last one. What is the cause and condition for consciousness to arise? Now everything contact. The last one is not contact. Nama rupa. Mind and matter is the condition for the consciousness to arise. For example, for eye consciousness to arise, you need eye sensitivity. For blind person, there's no eye consciousness because there's no eye sensitivity. And eye sensitivity is what? Materiality, matter. So for the consciousness to arise, matter is important. Matter is the condition. So also for the ear consciousness to arise, you need ear sensitivity. Ear sensitivity is materiality aggregate. And consciousness cannot arise alone, because the function of consciousness is only aware of the sound. Just aware of the sound. Consciousness cannot know whether it is good sound, bad sound, female sound, man sound. In order to fully understand what the sound, what is the meaning of that sound, you need other mental factors like perception, feeling, effort, attention, and also application of the mind, and so on. All this attention, effort, feeling, perception are called, apart from feeling and perception, the rest of mental factors are called formation. So without the help of effort, attention, and so on, the ear consciousness cannot arise. So what are the causes and conditions for the consciousness to arise? Mental factors and materiality. Now understood? Please remember, huh? So these are the cause and condition for the five aggregates to arise. And this cause and condition are impermanent, suffering and non-self. If the cause and condition are suffering, are impermanent, suffering and non-self, can the effect, the five aggregate are the effect, can the effect be permanent, happiness and self? Yes or no?
No.
So since the cause and condition are impermanent, the effect, which are five aggregate, are impermanent also. Since the cause and condition are suffering, the effect also must be suffering. Since the cause and condition are non-self, the effect of five aggregate also must be non-self. Okay. In Yamaka Sutta, because this self is very difficult to comprehend, very difficult to understood. Even during Buddha's time, many monks also hold on to the self. Although they have been listening to Buddha's Dhamma talk again and again, repeatedly, but in their mental stream, they still hold on to a self. Just like happened in Yamaka Bhikkhu. Yamaka Bhikkhu program, he said that when Arahant all the defilements are eliminated by Arahant, and when Arahant passes away with the breakup of the body, Arahant is annihilated. He proclaimed. And the fellow monks who heard what Yamaka said and tried to convince him that Buddha did not teach like that. What you say is not correct. Buddha did not teach like that. But they are unable to convince Yamaka Bhikkhu. Why this statement is wrong? Why the fellow monk say that Yamaka's statement is not preached by the Buddha? Buddha did not preach like that. Let me repeat again the statement. Yamaka Bhikkhu said that when the taint or all the refinements have been eliminated by Arahant, and when this Arahant die after the breakup of the body, when he dies, he is annihilated. Okay, what's wrong with this statement?
Annihilated.
Yes?
Annihilated.
Okay, some more? Any other question? Any other answer? Good, very good. Your answer make me happy, Okay, because this statement assume a self first. The whole teaching of the Buddha is non-self, only cause and effect, only cause and condition. But this statement already assume a self is annihilated. That's why the fellow monk tried to convince Yamaka Bhikkhu, Buddha did not teach like that. But they are unable to convince him. So they reported to Venerable Sariputta. And Venerable Sariputta came to Yamaka Bhikkhu and asked him, did you say like that? Yes. Yamaka Bhikkhu said yes. Then Venerable Sariputta start to ask him question. Okay, he asked, is materiality aggregate permanent or impermanent? Now you should answer. Okay, impermanent. Is feeling impermanent or permanent? Is perception permanent or impermanent? Okay. Is formation permanent or impermanent? Is consciousness permanent or impermanent? What is impermanent? Is it happiness or suffering? Suffering, yes. What is impermanent is suffering. What is impermanent, subject to change, suffering, can it be regarded as eternal self or not? No. He answer, Yamaka Bhikkhu answer, no. What is impermanent, subject to change, suffering, cannot be regarded as I, my, myself. So Yamaka Bhikkhu start to understand. Then he break through. After this question, he break through the Dharma. And Venerable Sariputta knew that he break through the Dharma. Then he asked him further question. He said that, is materiality or anyone, any one of the five aggregates, is materiality aggregate as arahant or same as arahant or not? Is feeling as arahant? Now you answer. Is materiality as arahant? Is feeling as arahant? Or is formation as arahant? No. So he answer no. Then he ask again, Venerable Sariputta ask again, as arahant in feeling? No. As arahant in perception? No. As arahant in materiality? No. As arahant in consciousness? No. So Venerable Sariputta ask, can we take this five together, five aggregate, as arahant or not, or as Tathagata or as Buddha or not? No. As Tathagata or as arahant without feeling? No. As arahant or Tathagata without formation? No. Or without consciousness? No. So neither, neither yes or no. Then he asked again. Venerable Sariputta asked Yamaka Bhikkhu again. Since Tathagata or Arahant cannot be apprehended by you now as real, because you answer no. Since Arahant or Tathagata cannot be apprehended by you as real, as actual in this very life, how can you say when Arahant passed away, he is annihilated? Can you understand? Yes. Even you cannot understand, gradually you will understand. So since you cannot say five aggregate as arahant, or arahant as in five aggregate, or arahant as without five aggregate, so arahant in this very life cannot be apprehended by you as something real, something actual, then how can you say he is annihilated after death? Then Venerable Yamaka answered, formerly I am ignorant. I do not understand the Dharma well. Now I understand. I will not say the same thing again. Then Venerable Sariputta asked him again, now if somebody were to ask you, when Arahant's defilement are destroyed, all the defilement of Arahant are destroyed, what happened to him when he passes away? How should you answer? Okay. Anyone want to try? If you answer correctly, mean you understand non-self correctly. Okay. So this is the problem of the mind. Huh? What can I do? This is the problem of the mind. So you got to tell the administration to give a better mind. Okay, I repeat the question. Since Arahan cannot be apprehended as you, as real, so when Arahan passes away, how should you answer? How should you answer if you were asked? What happened to Arahan when he passes away? Can you hear clearly? How should you answer?
The question, your question is, let's say, for us translated, immediately we say he will be removed, and depending on the, his karma, what he has done, he will immediately be removed.
Now we are talking about Arahan. No rebirth. No rebirth. So, what is the correct answer? You should answer. She attended my course, so she knows the answer. Okay. Okay. Then this venerable Yamaka Bhikkhu, he answered. He said, formerly I'm ignorant. So that's why I say, when Arahant passed away, he is annihilated. He assumed a self. Now he has breached through the Dharma. He has become the enlightened one. So then he answered, if somebody were to ask me, what happened to Arahant when he passes away, I will answer. Materiality is impermanent, feeling is impermanent, perception is impermanent, formation is impermanent, consciousness is impermanent. What is impermanent is suffering. What is suffering now has come to cessation. This is the answer. What is suffering now? The five aggregate. What is the suffering now has come to cessation? This is the correct answer.
Can we say, let's say the simplest answer is he has entered Nirvana, no more rebirth?
It's not so correct. You assume the self. He is entered Nirvana. You already assume the self. How can it be correct?
Some people often say that what is impermanent is subject to change. So therefore, cessation is just a change of condition. Can it be looked upon from that?
No. What is impermanent is subject to change, of course, correct. But not fully, not full yet, not finished yet. What is impermanent, subject to change, is suffering. What is impermanent, subject to change, is suffering. Dukkha. What is suffering now has come to cessation. That's why Buddha has uttered one very famous stanza. He said that my teaching is only concerned suffering and the cessation of suffering. This is very, very famous utterance of Buddha. My teaching is only concerned suffering and the cessation of suffering. He did not say a person, a being, a self. Only cessation, suffering exists, and there's a path to end the suffering. So my teaching is only concerned suffering and the cessation of suffering. Okay, this is the end of today's talk. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.